What if I told you there was a way to solve your biggest practice challenges and connect with a thriving community all in one place? Well, the wait is over. The Best Practices Association app is here. Now available on the Apple Store and Google Play Store, this app is a way to get solutions in the palm of your hands. And the best part? It's 100% free to join. So don't wait. Download the Best Practices Association app now and start transforming the way you practice dentistry. Yo, yo, yo. Hey guys, welcome back to another awesome edition of the Best Practices Show podcast. The word overwhelm is used a lot in dentistry. Do you ever feel like you're overwhelmed? Do you ever feel like your team is overwhelmed? Well, there's five reasons everybody feels overwhelmed. And today I have an amazing coach on. Her name is Michelle Wakeman. And she walks us through the five reasons your team feels that way and what to do about it. So please listen up. Hope you guys enjoy this, and we'll see you soon. Hey guys, welcome back to the Best Practices Show podcast. You know the jam around here. Our job is to give you some great thinking, some frameworks to help you improve your practice in your life. And have you ever felt like your team is overwhelmed? Have you ever felt that you're overwhelmed? Have you ever been in a situation, period, that was overwhelming? There's probably one of five reasons or all five reasons that are creating that feeling. And I'm here to tell you that's the worst feeling in the world. And I have an amazing coach today. Her name is Michelle Wakeman. She's going to help us decode that. So Michelle, welcome back. Thank you so much for being here.
Hey, Kirk. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be on here chatting with you today.
Yeah. So let's just go there. You get a chance. I mean, some people still don't know what we do, but if you're listening to podcasts, you still don't know what we do. We're practice coaches. So we coach practices all over the country that aren't necessarily broken. But Michelle's one of those amazing coaches that coaches these practices, and this is a real deal, right? So give us a little background. Why is this so important?
Yeah, so here's the thing. Anyone who's ever worked in a dental office knows that it is busy. And we have so many different things pulling us in so many different directions every single day. It doesn't matter what your position is, whether you're administrative, whether you're clinical, you are busy. How can we handle that busy in a way that doesn't lead to burnout? And it's funny, that term burnout, it gets a lot of buzz lately. We hear it a lot. So what is burnout? Well, burnout is the result of being consistently overwhelmed. And when you hear team members say things like, oh, I'm overwhelmed, it doesn't just mean they're busy. It means that the demands that your team has on them at this point are exceeding the clarity and support that they have.
Right.
So when we have a team that's consistently overwhelmed and consistently on edge, it leads to burnout. And that leads to team turnover, which leads to stress for our business owners.
Yeah. And it's, everyone can feel it. Look, let's call it out. There's a lot to do. And there's a lot you can do to feel less overwhelmed, and we're going to talk about that. But really, an overwhelmed team not only doesn't serve it doesn't serve the team well, but it also doesn't deliver an elevated patient experience, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, think about it. Anytime you're stressed or you're feeling overwhelmed, what happens? We start producing stress-producing hormones. Cortisol starts flowing. And when that happens, our bodies kind of go into fight or flight mode. And when you're in that mode, you're not able to think clearly. You're not able to prioritize. You're not able to delegate. And most importantly, you can't give your energy, either mental, emotional, or physical, to the thing that matters most. And what is that? It's our patients. So it really hinders our ability to provide top-notch care, which, all of the teams that we work with in ACT, that's really what they're striving to do, is take the absolute best care of their patients possible. And this is hindering that.
Yeah, absolutely. And burnout and overwhelm, they're the leading causes of resignations in dental offices. And when that happens, you just got to start recruiting more, which gives you more headaches and lost productivity. And let's just say, like, if you're not operating at full capacity, it falls on you as a doctor to pick up the slack. And I'll add one more thing, too. You know, nothing makes me a better dad or better husband when things went well today. When I'm overwhelmed, I'm just thinking, I got to get out of here. I got to go home. And maybe a glass of wine would sound good once I get home. And it leads to a whole bunch of other bad habits. So there's a lot we can do. And I think a lot of us could just do better if we slowed down. But Michelle, if anyone's listening to this podcast, now we've all been there. I've been there many times in my career. Like, give us the framework. How do we get out of this?
Yeah. So, I mean, here's the thing. There are a million different reasons why someone can be overwhelmed. And you hit one of the big ones and probably one of the number one stressors that I hear from the clients I work with. And it's the hiring and firing cycle. You know, if we could just get a team in place that's solid and consistent, that can follow our systems, my life would be so much less stressful. And if we know that this feeling of overwhelm is leading to that turnover, yeah, let's figure out how we can prevent it. And so we've really identified five reasons that we see overwhelm occurring most frequently in a dental office. The first one of those being just lack of clear expectations. So, you know, we have a tendency as leaders to sometimes expect our teams to read our minds. I hear a lot, well, that should be common sense. Right. And what do we know? Common sense isn't necessarily common. And we don't know what backgrounds people are bringing to us or coming to us with. So if we can set clear expectations, set clear parameters for our teams, verbalize what we need out of them, everyone functions better in a well-structured environment. So unless we tell our team what success looks like, what a job well done looks like, what does done look like, they can't ever get there. We end up with an E minus R moment, which is one of our favorite things to talk about at ACT. And that translates to,
yeah.
Take it away, Kirk.
Well, this is one of my favorite formulas. And if you're listening to this, please write this down. It's E minus R equals C. It's expectations minus reality equals conflict. If you examine any conflict that happens in your life, and I do mean any, you can trace it back to one of two variables. It's expectations or reality. The expectation was too high and the reality didn't meet it. Or there was no expectation and the reality was too low and now you're upset. You know, or, you know, if you're happy, if anything makes you happy, you're going to see there was an expectation and the reality was met, especially when you're raising teenagers. You know, you say, hey, listen, you got to be home by 11. They show up at 10:45. You're happy. You got to be somewhere. You're on time. Everybody's happy. If you are expecting something to cost X and it comes in at X, everyone is happy. So what you can do is you can use this formula as a proactive diagnostic measure to find out what happened so that you can figure out where this conflict came from. And you can use it in such a good way. You know, I always joke, but like being married to Sarah for 26 years, I know that I can't promise the moon. So when she says, what time are you going to be home? All this kind of stuff, I give her a time in which I know I can beat it. And so it's very important to make sure you meet or exceed expectations, because when you have misaligned expectations, they create this huge friction. An unresolved conflict is what we're talking about, always becomes a crisis. Always. We just don't know what's going to happen. So you can really start to use this expectation thing to a great degree to create a lot of happiness. What else would you add to that?
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, just be clear. Be clear with what you want or what you need out of your team members. What I find is a lot of times you don't know what you want, and so you can't verbalize it. Or you assume the other person knows what you want. And that's just not always the case. Most team members want to do well.
Right.
They want to make you happy. They want to make their patients happy. They want to come into work and do a great, fulfilling job all day. You know, I always joke with my teams, like, nobody's showing up in the morning saying, oh, I can't wait to screw up everyone's day today. This is going to be great. They want to do well, but you have to give them the expectation of what well looks like, because frankly, that definition is different in every single office.
Yeah. And you're using a word, you use the word clear, you know, and so if you're like me, I always say this in the podcast, I am a wuss. I've been clinically diagnosed as a wuss, which means I hate conflict. And so in the past, I would say, no, no problem, when this is a huge problem. And one of the things I've worked hard on that really works for me is don't try to be nice, be clear. And I'm not telling you to be mean, but when you get good at being clear, try to say more with fewer words. Mm-hmm. Say, I want to be super clear here. It helps everyone. Your team needs clarity. Your family needs clarity. Your patients need clarity. And I don't know if any of you listening to this podcast have had an experience recently with somebody you're like, I need you to tell me what this means, or, and they're just wishy-washy. Mm-hmm. It just makes you angry. It makes you frustrated. And then you're thinking, I got to go to somebody who knows what they're talking about. So when you get really good at being clear about expectations, some of the best leaders I've ever met, they're not mean. They're not wordy. They just say something really clearly. And you're like, okay, I totally understand what's expected in this situation.
Yeah. And if any team members are listening to this, what I would say to you is when you find that you aren't clear, help your leaders get clear.
Yeah.
You know, ask them, okay, here's what I'm hearing you say. Is that accurate?
Right.
You know, do some reflective listening. Try to get to the point that you really understand. Okay, it sounds like you need me to do A, B, C in order to get to D. Is that right? And as a leader, I'm going to go, yeah, absolutely. That sounds great. Let's do it. So help each other get there.
Yeah, absolutely. Another thing, I just love what you just said, is even with patients, you know, if you have a team member says to a patient, look, I know you and the doctor talked about a lot. Can you share with me what you heard?
100%.
That's a great way to figure out what expectations the patient had about the discussion, all that kind of stuff. So number one is just get really clear about expectations. What's the second thing you would say, Michelle, about burnout or overwhelm?
Yeah. So it's funny because this kind of piggybacks on expectations. You know, we just talked about the fact that when there aren't clear expectations as a team member, I can't meet them. I'm kind of fuzzy on whether I'm doing a great job every day. And that doesn't feel good. That leads to stress and unnecessary conflict. And okay, so what is a way that we can get really clear and set appropriate expectations? Well, we need to have some good systems in place. We need to have some documented systems in place. The term, I can't remember where I heard it, but the term decision fatigue is one that really resonates with me as a full-time working mom of very busy children. Sometimes you're just tired of making decisions. And I can remember working clinically as a dental hygienist, you know, all of the decisions that you make within a clinical appointment from the time you walk the patient back into your operatory until you walk them up at the end, if I can reduce the amount of actual decisions I have to make because there's a system for that, then I have time to spend that mental energy on diagnosing, on the decisions that actually do have to be made on a case-by-case basis.
Yeah.
So just implementing repeatable systems is going to help reduce that feeling of overwhelm in your team. The other thing I notice is when there aren't systems in place, we have a team that's more reactive than proactive.
Yeah.
And what do we know about the best dentistry? It's proactive. It's preventing issues before they occur.
Yep.
Otherwise, you're just putting out fires all day. And I call it tyranny of the urgent. You're going on to the most urgent issue that's right in front of you, rather than spending your time on the important things, when just having a documented system in place that the team has had some weigh-in on and has been able to talk about and align on is going to help prevent all of those issues that really lead to that heavy feeling of overwhelm in your team.
Yeah, one of the downsides, I totally agree with you on in dentistry, it's an amazing profession, but there's a lot of processes.
Yes.
And as a dentist, You and your team need one thing to be happy. You need high levels of predictability, which means things happen consistently the same way every single time. And I love what you're saying, like repeatable systems. You can actually scale. And I'm not talking about scale in like a big way, but you can actually do more without the cognitive decision-making load that a lot of people carry. And every time you create one system, if you're a dentist and you've ever created one system, you know that you've saved thousands and thousands of hours in the future because you actually have put in one system that helped improve your practice. The other thing, I could go on forever about systems, but like systems really allow you to give your best energy. You're talking about best energy. You can actually look up. You can actually engage with a patient when you have predictable, repeatable processes. And these systems have to be written, right, Michelle? They have. You can't just have them in your head.
Yeah. I mean, what did they tell you in dental school? If you don't write it down, it didn't happen.
Right.
It doesn't exist. It's the same way with systems. We have to have them documented and written down. And, you know, the other piece of that is, as a team member, there's this piece that can come in where you feel overwhelmed because you don't know the system, or you think you know the system, but you're not sure. And maybe Susie, poor Susie, we always pick on her.
Yeah.
Maybe Susie is doing the system incorrectly, but you're actually not really sure because you can't remember what we talked about in that meeting. If that system's documented and we've all aligned on it, then I can go to Susie and hold her accountable and say, hey, Susie, remember we agreed to do this instead of that. You know, do you need any further clarity on that? So now we're able to actually hold our team members accountable to those systems, which in turn helped your day be more predictable, run more smoothly.
Yeah. And this sounds like overwhelming if you've never done this work, but you also know the importance of it when you start to do this work. And I will tell you, everybody's on the search to find great team members, and you should be. If you find somebody who's really good at what they do, they don't want to come to your office and clean up the mess. They want to go into an organized, repeatable, calm environment where things are done the same way every single time. And the cool thing is you can change these systems to better suit your vision every single year, every single month, every single, you know, quarter, however that works. But there's nothing better when you walk into an environment that's highly predictable. Those are happy people. They don't feel overwhelmed. Go to the other side of it. If you're a dentist and you've never put in systems before and you have low predictability, you don't know if patients are going to show, you don't know if they're going to pay, you don't know if the lab case is going to come back. That is the worst environment to work in because you're stressing everybody out. So I don't know. Anything else you would add before we go to number three?
Yeah, no, I mean, the word chaos comes to mind when say, when you paint that picture of what that office feels like, where you kind of just don't know what's going to come at you next. And when we're, once again, I'll bring up the biological side of things, when we're constantly unsure of what the next thing is, we're living in a state of constant stress. And, you know, we're flooded with those stress hormones constantly, which once again impacts your ability to take great care of your patients and each other. And it's just a miserable way to live.
Yeah, totally agree. 100%. What's number three, the third reason your team feels overwhelmed?
So this is one I can speak to from personal experience. And it's really, really, it's tough to correct because we don't realize we're doing it as leaders, but it's implementing constant changes without communicating
what
the changes. I know it's weird, right? As a leader, we make a decision with the information that we have available to us. Oftentimes, the information that we have available to us is not available to the team, right?
Right.
So we make our decisions and we know the why behind it. And then we just implement it without cascading that to our teams. So when that happens, it just creates confusion, frustration. The team feels left out of the decision-making process. And once again, they're living in a state of chaos because they never know what the next thing is that's going to fall in their laps.
Yeah. And so this is a natural hazard for most dentists, especially if you're listening to a podcast. You're taking a course. You're learning about some new things that are happening in dentistry, and you come back and you've got this comparison depression going on where you're like, we got to up our game. We got to do this. And you don't communicate with anybody. And you're moving too fast to communicate even if you wanted to. And so that's why you got to slow down and have regular team meetings. And I know you're like, oh my gosh, here he goes with the regular team meetings. If you don't have a regular team meeting scheduled, you're setting yourself up for failure. If you don't have a regular huddle where you can communicate with your team about expectations, what happened yesterday, what are some of your favorite things, how to proactively fix the schedule today, those are natural bypasses to healthy communication, and something's going to fail. So your team already thinks you don't communicate. So you want to make sure we've got everything in place that you can create these spaces where we can communicate proactively, right?
Yeah, you literally cannot over communicate.
Right.
You just can't. It's not possible. So when you think you're communicating too much, I want you to communicate some more. Keep going. John Gordon, who's one of my favorite authors, he has this great line in, I think it's The Power of Positivity. I'm not certain if that's the exact book, but I believe that's it, or The Power of Positive Leadership. And he says, lack of communication leads to spaces or gaps in our knowledge, and people will always fill those gaps with negativity. And it's so true. When there are changes, big or small, that are happening, human nature is to look at those changes and make an assumption about why they're occurring. And it's never going to be an assumption from a positive standpoint. It's going to be filled with negativity. And that's when you end up with the chatter among the team. You know, I think we did it because of this, or I think we did it because of that. At the end of the day, control the narrative. Talk to your team. Let them know what's going on and why.
That's so good that you share that from Gordon, because that's so true. You think about it, any story where you don't have the context or you didn't hear the story, you fill it with your own story. And research shows that 80% of self-talk is negative. No one ever talks to themselves and says, you know what? I'm doing great. I feel really good about what's happening. If you don't know what's going on, you are going to fill it with a narrative, and that narrative is going to go in different directions. So the other thing I'll add is that the average adult has to hear something 7 times. I think for me, it's got to be 12 times. My wife will tell me, I've told you 3 times. And I always say, well, you got 4 more. And she's like, I don't like that statistic at all, because I swear we've talked about this. And so I think you're exactly right. You really can't over communicate. And when you talk, it can't be just talking. It's got to be visual. I like the idea of talking and writing something down, mm-hmm. because it's 4 times more likely to be retained if information goes through the eyes, even when you're talking about times or things like that, especially when, I'm talking about the Barron household, but like doctor's appointments and what we're doing next week. You can tell me all that, but I got to see it in a schedule. I got to write it down, you know? So when it comes to your office, communication is always the responsibility of one person. It's the sender. It's not a two-way thing. So think about this. If you're going to communicate something, over-communicate it, make sure that it's super clear. And don't expect people just to get it, because that never happens. All great dental teams are excellent and intentional about it, right?
They are. And you have to be intentional. And I'm glad you brought up the word intentional, because I'm going to circle back to the point of having those intentional communication rhythms and spaces set up in your systems, like morning meeting or morning huddle, weekly team meetings, check-ins. You have to set that time aside to truly communicate with your team, because how well do we retain things when we're doing 5 other things at the same time? And when we're in the middle of our workday, we're doing 5 things at the same time. If you really want the individuals on your team to hear you and listen for understanding, you have to set time aside to do that.
100%. Yeah. So important. What's reason number 4 your team feels overwhelmed?
So this is one that comes up quite often. We actually survey our teams when we're in active coaching with them to find out, you know, okay, what's going on? What are the things from our boots on the ground that you're noticing? And what we hear a lot of times is it's a lack of clarity around their roles and responsibilities. You know, who does what? And one of our favorite phrases in coaching is, when everyone's responsible, no one's responsible.
So true.
Yeah. I mean, it happens with, like, we see it in our homes. Somebody's supposed to take out the trash. How high does the trash get before someone finally takes it out? And it's the same way in our dental offices. If we don't feel a sense of responsibility or sense of ownership over a certain role, a certain item in the office that needs to get done, you just assume someone else is taking care of it. So taking the time, once again, to really sit down with your team, and I'm going to say the D word again, document,
right,
what we're expecting our team members to own, what we're expecting them to manage, what systems are they in charge of. We have to take the time to do it, or it's not going to be clear and your team's going to be overwhelmed because they don't know who does what. And it's that proverbial running around like a chicken with your head cut off all day because there's no organization around who does what.
Yeah, absolutely. And we talk often about the FAC, function accountability chart. If I was to go back and say the top five things I've ever done in business, this would be definitely one of them, the function accountability chart. It's not a hierarchy chart. It's a function accountability chart. And what you have to do, I'm going to go deep in the weeds just for a second, is you got to elevate yourself in a 30,000 foot view over the business and say, listen, how do I design this chart to get us where we are going? My encouragement to you is don't put names in it. Don't take Susie and give her a role with a fancy title. I've done that many times and everything explodes because you don't want to upset Susie and you want to make her feel good by giving her a fancy title. What you can do in when you do this right is you can look at your FAC, you can see everyone. And what you're talking about, Michelle, is like you can see everyone's roles and their responsibilities in order to move you forward. Now, I'm going to say this, 80% of your success as a dentist is in that chart. You can see you got the right people in the right seats. It's going to happen. You don't even need to know the how. Here's a great phrase is don't worry about the how. Just find the who and make sure that they're clear about their roles and responsibility, because then you don't have to worry about the how. They're going to come to you and go, listen, we can improve all of this. You're going to go, that's a great idea. So 80% of your success is in that FAC. 80% of your challenges are also in that FAC. When you are seeing like, we're not collecting money, we're not doing this, you can see we've got people in roles that maybe they're not the right person in the roles, or they haven't been given the support to succeed in those roles. It's wild how well your practice runs when you have really clear roles and responsibilities. I love what you're saying. So what else would you add?
Yeah. So one of my favorite phrases is the best way to run a dental practice, or really any business, is we're going to have people running the systems, but the system's running the practice.
Yeah.
And you're so right. There's something about that visual of a organizational chart or a functional accountability chart that is so helpful to pinpoint when you do have systemic failure, failures in your systems. Okay, now I can look at what the system is that failure is coming from and who owns that system, and I can go directly to the source and come up with an issue or come up with a solution versus the triangulating that I see happen so much within an office. So just getting clear on that roles and responsibility side is going to make your team feel less overwhelmed because they're going to have an understanding of what they own, who to go to when there's an issue with something. It's a simple issue, but something that can really ruin your day is an IT issue as a clinician. Your computer goes down. Who do I go to? And just knowing that, knowing immediately that you can go to someone and get that problem solved is huge. And that's something that lives right within that FAC chart.
Yeah. Amen, sister. What's the fifth reason your team feels overwhelmed?
So this is my favorite one because I am I'm going to call myself a reformed cheerleader, but I'm maybe not really reformed. I'm pretty active about it, but I love to give people feedback and recognition when they're doing a great job. And so when we don't do that, and some of us naturally are not as geared towards giving feedback and recognition as others, it's just not in our nature. We have to give that though to our teams, and we have to be intentional about giving it, and we have to be authentic about it.
Right.
It can't just be a blanket, great job today. Kirk, when I tell you, I was in a meeting with a team and they had just brought on a new hygienist, and this hygienist was new to them, but she's been a hygienist for 30 years. So she's been in it for a long time. She started crying during our team meeting because the doctor told her thank you.
Wow.
She had never, in 30 years prior to coming to this office, had a doctor tell her thank you.
That's crazy.
And it meant so much to her. Just that simple, heartfelt, hey, I see you. I see you as a human before I see you as a resource. I see you as a person. And I appreciate what you do for me every day. Thank you. It meant so much to her. So just taking a few moments out of your day, it doesn't have to be a gift. It doesn't have to be expensive. Just say thank you. Give your team's feedback. And by the same token, sometimes those of us who are also reformed wusses have to give feedback that isn't positive.
Right.
But if we don't give that feedback, we're holding our team back. We're not giving them the tools that they need to be successful. And I'm going to name drop another favorite author of mine, Patrick Lencioni. And one of the favorite things from him that I've heard is letting someone go is really the final act of cowardice, because it means that you maybe haven't given them the feedback that they need to be successful. So right. That's one of the ways that I've been able to reform myself from feeling guilty about giving feedback is you're really not caring about your team members if you're not giving them the tools that they need to succeed. And sometimes that tool comes in the form of tough feedback.
Yeah, I totally agree. If you ever let somebody go, it should never be a surprise. Mm-hmm. It should never catch them surprise. It should never frustrate you. You should have a system in place. We're big fans of the right person, right seat scorecard and having a regular check-in where you're doing exactly what you're talking about, Michelle. You're talking about what you expect, how they're meeting or exceeding or not, falling short of those expectations. And you're giving them a time frame in order to meet those expectations. Also, you can now, when you have a system like that, you can now transition yourself from being the boss to their coach, where, mm-hmm. hey, listen, I'm going to help you succeed here. A couple things that are falling short are X, Y, and Z. A couple other things that you brought up, like the appreciation and recognition thing is huge. According to Gallup, the majority of reasons why people quit their jobs is they don't feel appreciated. And so you got to take the time. And if you're moving too fast, you got too many ops, you don't have the time to do that. That should be a red flag. Like, I don't have time to check into the people that make this thing happen. I think it's always important to stop and go, hey, listen, just want to tell you thank you. Because your team members work their tails off for you. And how powerful is that when you can make a daily investment and say, I appreciate you. It's so cool in the South. In the South, they got that right. They say, I appreciate you. You know what I mean? Like in the North, they don't do that. But in the South, they do a much better job of it. So you got to find a way to systematically, and you use the word authentic. Like you got to be authentic because everybody's got their crap detector. Latest software going is like, I don't even know if he or she means that type of a thing. So slow down. I think the best thing to do is just slow down. Talk to people. Give them a little feedback. Have a system in place, right?
Well, and we even talked about this in TTT last week, how we had a doctor who had great advice, and it was basically like build yourself a bank of positive feedback.
Yeah, for sure.
So the ratio we want to use is 5-1. So you want to give somebody 5 items of positive feedback to 1 item of negative. What does that mean? Well, if I'm going to be able to give my team negative feedback, I need to make sure I'm giving them positive as well, because I want them to hear me when I give them that feedback that maybe I need them to stretch a little bit more. And they're going to be more likely to do that for you and to take it well when you've given them the positives beforehand.
Totally agree. Michelle, that is awesome. So there you have it. You got the 5 reasons teams feel overwhelmed. Give us some final thoughts on this before we wrap up.
So at the end of the day, I want you as a leader, if you're listening to this, to remember that overwhelm is not the problem in itself. It's a symptom of other issues within the office. So I would invite you to take a look at these 5 items that we talked about that we have found tend to lead to a sense of overwhelm in our practices and do some discernment. See if you can find where perhaps one or more of those items are occurring in your office on a regular basis. And if they are, and you feel overwhelmed in finding a way to fix it, I'd encourage you reach out to us at ACT. This is something that we help our doctors with on a regular basis. And it's common and it's normal to feel overwhelmed, but it's fixable.
It's 100% fixable. Oftentimes, you as the leader can't see this. There's things brewing all the time that you can't see. That's why you need a great coach who can talk to your team and give you feedback. Whether you like it or not, they're going to tell you the truth, like Michelle. That's one thing. Number two, I'm going to challenge you as a listener. So if you're listening to this podcast, you're like, okay, I think we're okay with a lot of these things. Most of you have team members that'll give you good feedback. Say, hey, do me a favor. Send this podcast and send it to a team member. Say, do me a favor. Just there's 5 things that Michelle listed that create overwhelm. Give me some feedback on those 5 things. And they're going to give you some amazing feedback. My team members right now would say, okay, listen, we're okay with this. Okay, we need more help in number four, or definitely number three, because you got all these ideas, but you don't communicate them very well. What a great opportunity to proactively fix your practice without having to say a whole lot. So share this with your team members and have them give us some feedback. Now, other things that we talked about, like creating systems, policies, the checklist, all those things, you might think, well, I've never done that before. That's why we created the Best Practices Association. We have tons of resources and tools back there that show you step by step by step how to create a system that will stick for a long time in your practice that's built around your vision. Also, you might be thinking, well, my team meetings, they're terrible. I don't do huddles. I don't even know what a check-in is. We have a communication rhythms guide back there that shows you all the five meetings that you should have, how to do them, how to run them, and then supportive frameworks that'll help you do them really well. And then also, if you're just really bad at the feedback, recognition, or appreciation, we got a whole whole resource of items on building an appreciative workplace. So make sure you check that out. And if you've tried everything, you're like, I've tried everything, I just can't do this, and you just need a coach, you can reach out to Courtney on our team. She's our lead therapist here. She'll listen to you and point you the right direction. And maybe it's time to get a coach. Maybe it's not. Who knows? We've got an entire team here to help you every step of the way. But at the very least, hope you guys enjoyed the podcast, and we're going to keep bringing it. Michelle, that was amazing. Thank you. I appreciate you. So thank you for being on.
Thanks, Kirk. I appreciate your appreciation. Always a blast to be on and talking with you.
Well, it's amazing to work with somebody like Michelle. She is one of the best cheerleaders of all time. So you're the best. All right, Michelle, stick around. We'll say goodbye to everybody else. But thank you guys for listening to the Best Practices Show. I'm just going to say this again and again and again. I'm so grateful you guys keep showing up with over 100,000 unique listeners, growing every single day. I don't know how it works, but we're going to keep bringing it. With over 900 episodes, we've got 9,000 more coming your way because we love this stuff. So until we see you guys next time, keep listening to the Best Practices Show. Hope you guys enjoy your day. So there you have it. Another great episode. Hope you guys enjoyed it. And thank you for showing up. I just want to thank you for being here and sharing the good word with your friends. And if you're really enjoying the podcast, could you do me a favor? Could you go to wherever you consume the podcast and just give us a 4 or 5 star review? Here's what that does. It allows us to find other great people like you. I love this profession so much. I'm going to spend the rest of my professional life finding great information so that you can consume it and your friends can consume it so that you can create a better practice and a better life. So keep spreading the word, and we will see you guys soon. Have a great day, everybody.